Well, if nothing else, there has been a clear rhythm to the Tennessee Titans 2023 season to this point. A not so good performance in New Orleans, a good performance at home against the Chargers, a really, really not so good performance in Cleveland, a really, really good performance at home against the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday, as the Titans cruise to a 27-3 victory and even their record at 2-2. Certainly that performance restored a lot of hope and comfort and faith in what this team can accomplish. But given that, that rhythm I just mentioned, it does not speak well, I guess, for the fact that this Sunday, the Titans will play on the road in Indianapolis. And it's a notable game because it is the first of the division games. Titans are the only one of the AFC South that hasn't played a division opponent yet. Everybody in the division's 2-2. The other three are all 1-1 in division games. This is the Titans' chance now to get rolling this week. So we will take stock of all things Tennessee Titans in this episode of Believe in Titans with our usual lineup. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John Glennon, how are you?
I'm well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great. Former Titans cornerback, Denard Walker. Denard, how are you, sir?
Doing well. David, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you. So, John, let's start with you. What, if anything, do you know for certain about this Titans team, given the inconsistencies we have seen from week to week to this point?
Yeah, not a whole lot you can certainly pin down at this point after the ups and downs, the sort of the stock market-esque performance we have seen so far. So perhaps that means they're worth tuning into each week because, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get. But the way I sort of look at it, I think, is that, you know, as you look at these four games, maybe you tend to eliminate kind of the two extremes. Like, I look at Cleveland and I see a team that's really, really good defensively, potentially really good overall when Deshaun Watson is in there and playing well. So maybe you throw out that extreme. You say, okay, that was a really, really good defense, especially. That was a day for Cleveland, and let's discount that maybe. On the other side is this past Sunday, maybe that extreme, you tend to eliminate that one a little bit too against Cincinnati, because you sort of say, this is not the same Cincinnati team that we have seen in recent years. You know, the Bengals have been, you know, one of the better teams, certainly in the AFC. But right now, the way Joe Burrow is playing, his lack of mobility, you know, lack of being able to throw deep, that's just not the same team as we have seen before. So if we eliminate the two extremes, I think what we're kind of left with is those two games, the other two games that have both been very close, a one-point loss and a three-point win in overtime, which to me says, you know, in most games, I think this year, the Titans are probably going to be in it with a chance to win it, you know, probably in the second half of most of their games. And if they can do some of the things well that we saw against Cincinnati, then they're in good shape. And those things, keeping the X plays under control, huge difference there. Offensive line play, which included both, you know, protecting Tannehill and opening holes for the running backs, huge there as well. So if they can win those battles more often than not, I think, you know, the Titans are going to be at least in position to win the majority of these games. However, you know, when we see some of those extreme type opponents, especially defensive, like we did against Cleveland, yeah, that's cause for a little concern.
Denard, you know how players think after the disappointment at Cleveland. I'm sure everybody thought, okay, let's just flush this. We move on to the next week, and you do that. But how important then to actually come back with a much better performance, and how much confidence, how much belief does that restore in a locker room when you actually go out and set out to reverse what you did the week before. I mean, even to the point that you completely flipped the score, and you know, after losing 27-3, you win 27-3.
Well, David, it's demoralizing in this league because you only get 17 of these games, and every game counts. And when you look at the Titans, they've been sporadic this season. I mean, let's just look at this team right now over the last 4 weeks. When they don't turn the ball over, David, this team is 2-0.
Yeah.
They're 2-0, David. They're tough to beat. We know pretty what they're going to do. Yeah, it's very simple. They're 2-0 when they don't turn the ball over. When they're 0-2, let's go back to the Cleveland game. And this is interesting, and I'm sure Mike Vrabel pointed this out. And he looked at his offense and said, guys, listen, we had 94 total yards. We were 2-for-12 on third downs against Cleveland. We gave up 5 sacks, and we only scored 3 points. Go back to the game against New Orleans. We threw 3 picks and still had a chance to win the game. So it's demoralizing to a team. It's demoralizing to a unit when you realize that the answer is very simple. Don't turn the football over, and it will give you a chance to win in this league. We know defensively that they can line up against any team in the National Football League. The Achilles heel of this team has been the offense. And Sunday, they showed and they stepped out and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They went back and they found their DNA. They lost it in the last 3 weeks. If you would have told me, David, in 3 games that Derrick Henry would have, what was it, coming into this contest Sunday, he had less than 200 yards, 163 yards in 3 games and 3 touchdowns. Really? And you think that's going to give you a chance to win? And what happened Sunday, David?
They ran the ball.
They ran the ball. They imposed their will on the Bengals defense. And you're talking about a defense. Their strong point is their defense. They absolutely demolished Cincinnati defense Sunday.
Yeah, and it's funny in it because early in the game it sort of had a bad feel about it, didn't it? The Bengals get the ball to start, they march down the field, it's a long drive, they're completing passes, and you're thinking, here it goes again. And then you get the little victory of holding them to the field goal, and you just kind of dig in your heels, and to your point, Denard, the Titans, they didn't try to score 100 points in the first quarter, right? They did what they do. They turned Derrick Henry loose, and you're seeing, we've talked about this a bunch too, but you're seeing for the first time since I think Derrick Henry's rookie season, his second season when he was partnered with DeMarco Murray, what two running backs can do for this team. Ever since Henry ascended and became the king and has been doing all the things, there's always been that talk of, okay, but who else is there? Who else can we get to help him? And now you're starting to see some of that with Tyjae Spears, where, I think we had the discussion a week or two ago. There's some sense that, maybe Spears should be getting even more work. I don't see that at all. And the fact that that Henry is historically better late in the season than he is early in the season. His numbers to me through those first 3 games weren't as surprising maybe as to you, Denard, but the fact that you're getting these extra contributions from Spears now only adds to the running game and gives them options to maybe do something on days when Derek's not having his best day. And let's face it, at his age and with all the carries, he's not going to be dominant every Sunday the way we have seen him from time to time. And, but he was certainly, they certainly got to a point Sunday where they can line him up in the Wildcat with Jeffrey Simmons at fullback, and the defense reacts to him in such a massive way that he's got an easy touchdown pass to Josh Wiley. And there's been, I guess, this criticism of Tim Kelly following the losses, but you see still how important Derrick Henry is to this team. And everything is built off the fact that the Titans have to be able to run the ball and force defenses to deal with that first. And if defenses get to that point, then it looks like the you know, the Titans have them at a disadvantage, and Ryan Tannehill can do more things in the passing game, and it looks really good when that happens. And while we're talking about the running game, moving on, I think it's important to note this development happened last week after we recorded the podcast, but Nicholas Petit-Frere's suspension was reduced from 6 games to 4 games, and he is back on the practice field this week. We'll be able to play Sunday against the Colts, and we'll be part of the offensive line. And Wednesday at practice, during the open period that was available to the media, John Glennon, he was at left tackle. And, you know, we talked about the possibility of him maybe stepping in there for Andre Dillard after playing right tackle all last season. Is that what we should expect to see Sunday, you think?
Yeah, I guess, you know, to me, the question, or one question has to be answered, is will he be ready by Sunday? Because even though he's back, obviously this was his first practice since training camp. So, you know, maybe he's ready for Sunday, maybe not. But, in terms of position, you know, we see a small window, you know, at practice. The media sees a small window. But in those kind of individual drills, it certainly looked as if Andre Dillard, excuse me, not Andre Dillard, but Nicholas Petit-Frere was, you know, taking the role of a left tackle and working over there. And that certainly represents a big switch. As we know, Nicholas Petit-Frere was the starting right tackle for 16 games last week. But as we also know, Andre Dillard has not been good in pass protection these first 4 weeks. And we have, as a group here, we've discussed the various options that the Titans might have if they want to replace Andre Dillard. And to me, this potential one that the Titans are talking about makes the most sense for a number of reasons. One, Nicholas Petit-Frere was a left tackle in 2021 at Ohio State. Pretty good one, good enough to be drafted in the third round. So it's not that far in his background. You know, he obviously did it on a high level in college, unlike, say, Dylan Radins, played left tackle a few years ago in college, but it was also at a smaller school and a kind of a different type of offensive format as well. So that makes sense. And also, if you bring in Petit-Frere at left tackle, you're keeping everybody else intact. You know, when Skoronski comes back, he's still the left guard. You've got Brewer center, Brunskill right guard, and Chris Hubbard, who's been kind of a pleasant development at right tackle, guy who was brought in, you know, as sort of a stopgap measure, you know, after the suspension. And then all of a sudden he's a starter when Jamarco Jones gets cut. Hubbard has been playing pretty well. You know, he's given up 3 sacks, but overall, you know, he's been much better than expected, and especially in the run game. So I think they're comfortable keeping Chris Hubbard there at right tackle. And if you want to have your best 5 guys on the offensive line, you know, that would seem to make a lot of sense to have Nicholas Petit-Frere there at the left tackle. So to me, the only question is NPF ready? And then Mike Vrabel talked a little bit today that he is probably more ready than Skoronski to go right into the lineup right now, just because Nicholas Petit-Frere had last week, but at least be in the facility to condition, you know, strengthen himself and so forth, where Skoronski is still coming back from that appendectomy. It might take a little bit longer for him, but yeah, I think there's a good chance we might see this on Sunday. Yeah,
and we should note that Skoronski is back on the practice field after having missed the last 3 games with the appendectomy, and we'll see how he comes around this week. But Denard Walker, John Glennon asked the question, so I'm going to ask it to you. Can Nicholas Petit-Frere be ready to play with 1 week practice coming off a 4 week suspension like that? Is that a big ask?
That's a lot. 4 weeks is a long time. And it depends on his conditioning. If he's mentally ready to go, and if you think he's physically ready to be out there, then yeah, I think he gives you the best chance to going down and to India and winning that game. But John, I wanted to kind of piggyback on you about Chris Hubbard, because he has been solid this year. You're talking about, he is the consummate pro. I mean, this is his 10th year. He's a veteran. He's been around. He played for the Steelers. And not to mention, I had a chance to read up on Hubbard today, and it was talking about he only surrendered 6 pressures and 141 pass blocks. And what was interesting, he was rated the 15th best tackle in the league. So that's pretty high. I mean, that's some doggone good remarks, David. And not to mention, so I would love to see. I thought Andre played well in the running game Sunday. They look good offensively. David, I know we was critical last week, but that offensive line showed out Sunday. I was quite proud of him. But again, if Nicholas give you the better chance at winning Sunday, then I go with the big man.
Yeah, Hubbard is interesting. It reminds me of when Kenny Vaccaro showed up a few years back. Remember, Jonathan Cyprian was the Titans' strong safety at the time, and the first or second day of training camp blows out his knee. He's lost for the year. And Kenny Vaccaro, a guy who was a first-round pick, had been with New Orleans for 5 years, was sitting around there, you know, all summer, hadn't gotten signed by anybody. The Titans brought him in for 1 year, and lo and behold, he ends up being a really good player for them for several seasons. It's amazing to me how the NFL works that way sometimes, that guys who are proven players. Now, Hubbard didn't have as much tread off his tires as Vaccaro did, but you know, he's a guy who's played in this league and had started games and was just sitting out there waiting for his opportunity, and he not only got an opportunity, he has run with it to the point that, I know, Denard, you talked about last week, you know, Dillard's getting paid big money. The expectation is that he's going to play, but, that might not be the case right now. And, Dillard has been a better run blocker than a pass blocker all season, but you certainly, you need the type of consistency that he hasn't shown. And, Petit Frere, I would think, is a guy who's going to have something to prove. He accepted the punishment, but, and I'm sure he feels like he let this team down to a certain extent, and he's going to want to make that up as quickly as possible. So whether or not he's ready to play right now, I think it's safe to assume he will do everything within his power to convince the coaches by the end of the week that if they want to play him, they can play him, and he will. He will make that offensive line better, and there is room for improvement there. Along those lines, injury lines again, Treylon Burks still dealing with the injury, did not practice at all Wednesday, but Kyle Phillips, who is on IR but was designated for return to practice, was a full participant and looks very much like a guy who will be removed from IR by the end of the week and will be in the lineup and be that true slot receiver that the Titans drafted him to be. So, John Glennon, we've seen DeAndre Hopkins. I think there's no question he has been as good or certainly close to as good as the Titans would have wanted when they signed him. Chris Moore's a guy making plays down the field in the passing game. What does Kyle Phillips add with him getting back in there?
Yeah, I think Kyle Phillips adds something that is much needed right now, and that is the ability to kind of separate quickly, to show that quickness at the line of scrimmage. You know, he's got those fast feet, get some pretty slick moves up there. And to me, I think that's very important because, as we know, more often than not this year, Ryan Tannehill has been under a lot of pressure. It was better, much better against Cincinnati for the most part. But still, for the most part, this line hasn't proved itself as a great protector of Tannehill. So when you're feeling that heat quicker and you're trying to get rid of that ball quicker, well, what better to have than a guy who can get open quickly? And that is kind of Kyle Phillips' strong suit. It struck me again today, this is not exactly breaking news, but that we've talked so much about Kyle Phillips over these last 2 years compared to how little he has actually played. But that opener, you keep going back to that opener of his rookie year. 6 catches, 66 yards in that game, 4 punt returns for 62 yards. really looked like he could to be a factor. And then only 33 more offensive snaps over a course of three games for the whole rest of his rookie year. Then there's the injury in the preseason game this year against Minnesota. So there's still so much of an unknown about Kyle Phillips, but there is that potential there. And I go back to that first game because that was coming out of his first training camp with Ryan Tannehill. And clearly those two had you know, kind of forged a bond, forged some chemistry right there, and looked like that was going to be a good combination for the rest of the year. So if he can get back to that pretty quickly, and as I say, give the Titans a quick pass option, something that they don't really necessarily have right now, you know, I think he could make a nice impact on the offense.
Yeah, I was going to say, those of us who were there for most or all of the 2022 training camp, I mean, it was obvious that he and Ryan Tannehill got each other and they understood each other. And players on the defense were talking about it. I remember Kevin Byard coming off the practice field one day saying, well, you know, Tannehill's got his red zone security blanket there in Kyle Phillips. I mean, it's not just that this guy was a draft pick and you know, you want all your draft picks to come in and make an impact. It was that this guy looked like he was ready from day one to make an impact and got out of the gates good and then has had the injury problem since. Denard, you know, you can speak to this, that I mean, let's not say he's there yet, but you know, there's been the Wes Welkers of this world and whatnot, guys who can really make an offense go from that slot position. How valuable can a healthy Kyle Phillips be to this offense?
Well, you know, what is it? Cal had what last season, what eight reception, what 78 yards. That's not a lot. He's been in the system, what, 2 years now. And it just seems like the last 2 years, he's just been on IR. It's been kind of consistent. He's a small guy, not very big, but he's tough. He's elusive. I had a chance to kind of evaluate him in a game that I didn't really want to look at a few years ago when they played, when UCLA beat down LSU down in Westwood. And there was one player, David, that stood out, and that was Kyle Phillips. And UCLA did a great job in how they utilize him in the slot. LSU didn't. They didn't stand a chance. Those bigger defenders against a smaller receiver, he gave them nightmares. And I've had a chance in my career to go against some smaller guys, and it's a long day. And what he brings is he brings that slot. You know, he brings that Wes Welker, the smaller guys in the slot, that if you get a big defender on him, especially in space, it's a nightmare. But the question for Kyle is, can he stay healthy, David? That's been an issue. And then not to mention special teams. That was his forte coming out of UCLA, was his ability in the punt return game. David, he's a monster when he's healthy. But then he was on the field, what was that, a couple years ago, where he got his first chance to start and he muffed, like, what was it, two punts?
Yeah, but he returned the first one. Yeah. Great. And then muffed one against the Giants and then one again the next week. And things kind of went south for him quickly after a really good training camp and a good opener. But there to John's point, there has been this sense of, you know, this guy's out there. If they can just get him on the field and get him involved consistently, it feels like there's a whole other level to this offense that is just untapped at this point. And as I mentioned, you know, Chris Moore is becoming that downfield threat. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, is going to do what he does. Burks, we've seen the high moments. Same sort of thing with him. Some injury issues, but. You can see how the pieces will all fit together now if they can get them all healthy and going at this point. And, you know, it leads us into this Sunday. I mentioned everybody's 2-2 in this division. The division is very much up for grabs. The Colts are a team that I think probably feels good about being 2-2. I think Houston feels good about being 2-2. I think Jacksonville probably feels pretty crappy about it, and you know, given all the preseason expectations around them, and you know, the Titans, I think they'll take it. They're probably not real happy about it, but given the way they've responded to losses, you go, okay, you know, we'll take this situation right now, and getting started with the division race. John, they've got to deal with you mentioned talking about the Bengals. Joe Burrow is hurting. He's got the calf injury, was not a guy who moved around well. Defense got to him a bunch. That's not going to be the case Sunday with Anthony Richardson. This is a guy who's going to be much harder to get to the ground. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, just a frightening kind of guy to go up against in terms of his skills. You know, you're looking at a guy who's 6'4", 230 pounds, and ran a 4.43 at the NFL Combine. Oh, and he also has a cannon of an arm as well. All kinds of great physical attributes for Anthony Richardson. You know, I thought Arden Key brought up a good point today. He compared him, you know, to Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson isn't quite the size of Anthony Richardson. I don't think, you know, really anybody is. But, you know, Deshaun Watson is a good sized guy who is hard to get down. Even when you pressure him, even when you get a hands on him, he is hard to bring to the turf. And we saw how often the Titans came close to getting Deshaun Watson, but could not bring him down, either because he was too elusive or too physical and broke tackles. And that's going to be a key, you know, being able to rush him and not only pressure him, but being able to take Anthony Richardson down is going to be a key. You know, now his passing, you know, is something that's still a work in progress. You know, I think he's 41 for 72 so far in the three games that he's played, like a 57% completion rate, which is kind of so-so. Three TDs, one interceptions, and an 85 quarterback rating. So good, but not great. I think, you know, you really have to be more concerned about what he could do to you on the ground at this point in his career. You know, make him be a passer if possible. Keep him in the pocket. Make him have to throw downfield to beat you, because already in just four or in three games, again, that he's played so far, he's already got four rushing touchdowns. He's rushed for 8 first downs as well. He's averaging like 6 yards a carry. So that, to me, and especially in the red zone too, is where he has been the most effective, and he's the most scary to what defenses. If the Titans can keep him throwing passes, and if they can take him down when they get to him, you know, then they're going to do a pretty decent job of limiting Anthony Richardson, I think.
Denard, is it safe to assume that the Titans will play a lot of zone defense on Sunday so that defenders do have their eyes on Anthony Richardson? They're not turning their backs and running downfield and trying to keep him bottled up to a certain extent. And if so, is this a secondary that, from what you've seen, does well in zone defense?
Excellent job Sunday. They did. The Titans secondary did an excellent job Sunday. Joe Burrow, I mean, they made his day miserable. And that's what you want to do against a quarterback like Anthony Richardson, as Tennessee a few years ago. And so what you want to do when you have a 6'4", like John said, 230-pound physical specimen, runs a 4.43, a guy who came out in pregame his last year at Florida and did a backflip in warmups. That's a grown man, and that's absolutely scary. And when I had a chance to kind of break him down, David, I was kind of shocked that he went went so high, to be honest with you, because I didn't think he put up great numbers at Florida as far as when you're talking about throwing the football. Now, running the football, he's a monster. But listen, when you think about the Colts and you look at this team, and I went back and looked at him against Jacksonville, David, you know who the offensive coordinator is? Jim Bob Cooter, and you know who the head coach is, right? Shane Steichen comes over from Philly. So he worked with Jalen Hurts. You think about it, you see a lot of similarities between Hurts and Richardson. I mean, Jalen Hurts is not that big, and Deshaun Watson. So what does the young quarterbacks they do? What does an offensive coordinator want to do when you have a young quarterback? They want to get the ball out quick. So when you watch a lot of those throws, everything is like 5 yards, David, 10 yards here. And then they have a lot of design runs. So if you're Tennessee this week, you want to maybe do not pressure, especially the guy that's going to take off. So what you want to do is read your keys, because they're going to see a lot of zone reads this weekend.
I was going to say you just sort of touched on it. This is one where you sort of pull in the reins on the pass rushers a little bit. You don't, you tell them, especially the edge guys, don't go way upfield. You know, you've got to hold your ground. Don't create lanes for him to run and make him stand there and try and beat zone. And the good news for the Titans in that scenario is you've got guys like Jeff Simmons and Denico Autry and Arden Key and Harold Landry who can beat people one-on-one. You don't have to send extra rushers theoretically. I haven't really looked at what the numbers are the first four games, but if I were betting on it, I would bet we're going to see fewer blitzes from the Titans defense this week than we have seen in the first four games. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to tell them, we want you standing in the pocket. If you can beat our coverage, fine, you know, congratulations to you, but we're not going to let you beat us with your feet, because he certainly can do some things with his feet. But you know, he did miss a game already earlier this season with a concussion too. And I think if somebody gets a shot at him, I'm not saying that, I mean, you know, Denard, you're not trying to hurt somebody, but you want to hit him good and hard, and who knows what'll happen there, how prone he is to another one at this point. But
don't try to take it back now. You sound just that? Like Greg Williams. Don't try to take that back.
That was the first thing I thought of also. Yeah. I think Beauclair just put a bounty on it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's look, Mike, you know, Mike Vrabel's he says it all the time. It's a violent game. And I think of it this way. You know, if a guy like Jeffrey Simmons has been told all game, you know, just hold up, don't go too aggressively. And then all of a sudden, you know, you beat your guy clean off the snap, and you're just gonna unload on the guy. I think that's natural. That's what football is. But it's an important game for the Titans in terms of the division too, because as I mentioned, they're the only ones who have not in this division who have not played one of the other three yet. And this, you know, this is only one of the next. This is the only one of their next five games that is going to be against the division. The bulk of Tennessee's division games come at the end of the season. They play four of their last six, whereas Houston actually at 1-1 doesn't have another game in the division till late in November. But Indianapolis, their next two, I mean, this is a really big time for them. They can set themselves up for a tiebreaker advantage, and Jacksonville sort of has the best disbursement, I guess, of their division games remaining. They've got one this month, two in November, and then one in January. So this is going to be the Titans' first and really their almost the only taste of division play they get. I guess you could say that's a good thing, because it gives them more time to solve their issues before they play these games that count so much. John, we said early on, two losses on the road this year, two subpar performances on the road, going back on the road now is why should Titans fans feel things are going to go differently this time, I guess?
Well, you know, I think certainly we just talked about it. They're going against a rookie quarterback, a rookie quarterback who has immensely talented. But still, you know, when you're in your first season, you're learning a lot of things, and you're going through different experiences. And you know, Mike Vrabel is a pretty good defensive mind. Shane Bowen is as well. I think they'll probably, you know, craft some pretty good things that, you know, to kind of contain Anthony Richardson. And it probably helps, you know, as Denard mentioned, you know, the Titans played the Eagles last year. Shane Steichen was the offensive coordinator and is now the head coach there. So obviously they didn't do very well against the Eagles, but they might have at least seen some things, you know, that Shane Steichen likes to do, likes to bring to the table, and likes to do with his type of quarterbacks.
But Shane Steichen won't have A.J. Brown in his passing game for this one.
There is that. there is that also, yes. But, you know, it's funny, you know, we keep going week to week, and I'm not sure we've predicted. I'm not sure if I've predicted the Titans correctly yet in any of the games this week, because you keep thinking they're either better or worse than they actually are. But I'm gonna go with a positive here. I'm gonna say I think they can cup this first road W. I think they're gonna be able to keep the Colts contained, and I don't think the Colts defense is as ferocious as like a Cleveland. Or even in like in New Orleans either. So I think the Titans will be able to, you know, have a little bit of time to throw, open some holes as well. I think the Titans are going to get an AFC South win this weekend.
Denard, you did correctly predict the Titans to beat the Chargers, as I recall. You feel good about this week? You feeling like they're going to reverse the trend on the road finally?
I do for one reason, and that's the quarterback position. When I think of Anthony Richardson, he's just 21 years old, David. He's 21. He's the third youngest quarterback to start an NFL game. And you just don't see this offense right now. They don't look explosive. And not to mention, you got a disgruntled Jonathan Taylor. I mean, we haven't even talked about him. Will he be a participant Sunday? I mean, questions, yeah, no. So right now, there's a lot of holes in this team. I think this is a game that Tennessee needs to get, because remember, it's a division game, and a division game counts twice.
Yeah, and you make a great point about Jonathan Taylor. He potentially could play, which would certainly help a young quarterback, I think, but you're talking about an unhappy guy and a bad situation. It seems like it would take a lot to get him on the field, but you know, I'm going to be that guy, and I, you know, gambler's logic is you don't bet on a streak to end. So with a couple of road losses here, I'm going to say this team is not ready to win on the road yet, but it'll be much more like New Orleans than it will be Cleveland. I don't think they're going to go to Indianapolis and get blown out, but just feels to me like Richardson is the guy who's going to be the X factor, and he's going to do something crazy that's going to beat the Titans. But you know, to John's point, I'm not sure I've gotten it right at all again either this year. So we'll see, and we will discuss it again next week. Until then, Denard Walker, good night, sir.
Good night, David.
John Glennon, good night.
Good night, guys.
And I am David Beauclair again, and thank you all for listening to Believe in Titans.